morning. Welcome to Thursday here, 1 week away, Thanksgiving, November 20th here. Got clouds and 40 mild degrees going on. Well, it's time for one of our favorite segments here with our favorite historian, Jana Gageland. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You always chuckle when I say that.
I do, because, and well, I will say, well, how many do you know?
Just you. That's all I need to know. Yeah, see, well, you take care of enough of it that, I don't need to know anymore.
Okay.
Can I read you something? Can I start with something here that I thought, okay, I'm gonna print this off for Janet. And I got this morning. Folks, and it made my heart hurt. It said, it's with great appreciation and heartfelt emotions that we write to you with sad news. The 2026 Farmer's Almanac.
Oh, no.
Going to be the last edition.
Oh, no.
Yes, after 200 years of sharing a unique blend of weather, wit, and wisdom, we have to make some very difficult decisions to write the final chapter of this historical publication. So 2026.
Wow.
Last time you're going to see Farmer's Almanac.
You're right. That is sad.
Sign of the times.
Yeah.
And it said, so go ahead, plant your peas when the daffodils bloom. Watch for a red sky at night. And tell the kids how Granddad always swore by the almanac.
Yep.
And he said that's how the story stays alive, with deep felt appreciation, the Farmer's Almanac team.
Well, let's hope that families and other agencies pick up the information and within their own families and with their own communities. And this is cool.
There's some good stuff in there.
There is.
But it is sad. So 2026, we say goodbye to Farmer's Almanac. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
And I thought, no, I'm going to tell this to Janet, because you and I can, can definitely relate to that.
Absolutely.
Stuff,
so. Yeah.
There you go.
A cool book.
So it was good for me to start for a change.
Yeah.
Usually you're coming in here with all the good stories.
I know. We didn't even talk about what I'm going to talk about.
What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about turkey.
All right.
And foul play.
Foul play and turkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Combination.
All right.
All right. So, we've been concentrating on the 1925 and probably a couple years before that, domestic turkey raising in the state was a really big deal. The prices for a pound of turkey in 1925 were anywhere from 20 to 33 cents a pound, if it was dressed or not, So turkeys were a big deal. In Grand Forks, they had the All-American Turkey Show, which meant that, North Dakota is on the rise for, being able to contribute turkey to the market.
No kidding. I didn't know it was that big around here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, like I said, it was domestic turkeys. So if you had a farm and you maybe raised grains, or, crops, you also probably had chickens and turkeys. So someone had to take care of them. Usually it was the wife in the farmstead. Mm-hmm. She was always one responsible for that because, she would be feeding and putting the water out there and so forth. But
that was the role.
That was the role. Mm-hmm. When I was doing the research on the beehive, I came across an article that was turkey thieves. I'm like, what? It's November. I'm like, okay, how long does it take a turkey to mature and be ready then for, the Thanksgiving time?
Or thieving.
Yeah. So it wasn't just in our area that it was an issue. It was across the state of North Dakota. Every county, Stutsman County and Burley County, Ransom County, they were all having trouble with turkey thieves. So locally, they were trying to combat this. So the farmers then would stay up at night, to keep the turkey thieves away, who were driving up with their Ford car and their Ford truck to steal these.
Ripping off turkeys.
Turkeys. Well, you can't brand them. So how would you know what turkey belonged to you?
That's
you
true.
Know? They're probably free range, so they would be just everywhere. So anyway, it was an issue, and so they would start oiling up their shotguns. And there was a big run on ammunition at local hardware stores. So they would stay up at night to try to catch. They called them the Prairie Night Riders. These thieves that would come out at night.
So they actually had a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it seemed like it was a particular gang, because they were quite well organized. They had their equipment that they needed. And in one farm in Ransom County, they stole 50 turkeys. and in, you know, in a short period of time, probably threw them in the back of this truck and off they went. You know, and the roads were really good because we didn't have a lot of rain, so they weren't going to get stuck in any mud or anything with those very small tires. So they made off with a lot of turkeys.
Over 50 turkeys.
Over 50 turkeys.
And I'm sure the turkeys didn't go quietly, so you can imagine what kind of chaos that was.
Yeah, right. And so many of the turkey farms would have their shotguns ready and hoping to land some birdshot in the in the thieves.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, what can we do? But they weren't frightened by the people who had these loaded guns and waiting for them. So they passed a law in 1925. It was called the Grand Theft Turkey Law. And it was, if you were caught stealing turkeys, you could, it was a felony, and you could spend 6 months to 5 years in jail. In prison for stealing turkeys. I don't think it was very effective either. I read of one person who was caught and he ended up paying, I think, a $25 fine or $20 fine, and then the court cost. So it cost him $100. And that was it. He had no jail time whatsoever. Hmm. So I don't think that the riled up farmers were, you know, getting a benefit from this particular law. As far as I can tell, the law is probably still on the
books. I was going to ask if it's still there.
I think it's still there, but it's not called that. So it would fall under the Department of Agriculture if there was any statute about it. And it would probably expand it and became a little more general rather than the, you know, grand turkey theft.
Wow.
Right. So then people say, well, what about turkeys in, you know, the wild turkeys? Well, we tried wild turkeys. But they took some of the domesticated turkeys and then put them out there, and that didn't work very well. And that was in the 30s and the 40s. And like, this is not going to work. So they got other turkeys that were wild turkeys in other states and brought them into the state of North Dakota in the early 50s. And then the wild turkey population expanded, and so by probably 1958 or so, we had turkey hunts in the state. Which we still do,
you know. We got a lot of them roaming around.
We do, yeah. Not just in the zoo, but
all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
And they seem to follow the rivers here.
I think so. Yeah, and we also have. I think the state has on their website that we have 9 turkey farms, at the present time around the state of North Dakota, and probably 4 or so are from this area. You know, Winemere, Hankinson, Walcott.
Oh, that's right.
So. It's still a big business, but it was foul play for a while.
Anything about thieving, like in 2025, or is that kind of gone by the wayside?
I haven't heard a thing about that.
Well, they must have figured out that probably not real profitable.
Well, no, not anymore. So it's only going to be thieving, you know, like in this time of the year. So whatever I found in 1925 was always related to the month of November. And I'm sure that they would, you know, steal the turkeys, drive to Fargo and sell them, you know.
Well, there must have been something lucrative about it.
Yeah.
You know, if they kept it up and they were that well organized.
Right.
Yeah, yep. they were getting something out of the deal.
Yep, they had gangs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Talking turkey and foul play this
morning.
That's
right. Yep.
All right. Well, we're not going to be here next week.
We're not.
You know, for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So it'll be a couple weeks before we can talk.
Right.
But
yeah. I'll be back.
Okay. Got a hint? Are you going to drop a hint, or you got any ideas?
I have a couple of little articles that I've gotten from the newspaper dealing with. Well, it goes back to the Lieber shoe thing. You
yes,
know? So
the
it's
Lieber
like,
shoe.
It just evolves.
Okay,
you know?
Good. I can't wait to do some follow-up on that.
Yeah.
Janet, great to have you.
Good to be here.
820, you're the voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Lynn Peterson with West Central Initiative. Supporting your community should feel simple, and it should truly make a difference. That's what we do at West Central Initiative. We take care of the details, connect your support to local needs like childcare, education, and community projects, and make sure your gift keeps working. With West Central Initiative by your side, your generosity creates ripples of good. Today and for generations to come. Learn more at wcif.org.
Innovation is